This podcast is for informational purposes only. We are not medical professionals and do not provide medical advice. Consult a healthcare provider for any health concerns. Opinions expressed are not a substitute for professional medical guidance.
This edition of the Optimize We podcast is brought to you by the Biohacking Index. Visit biohackingindex.com for ratings and reviews of your favorite wellness solutions and wellness providers. Hello, everyone. I'm Lindsay O'Neill. I'm the host of the Optimize We podcast, where we share biohacking truths without the BS. And I'm joined today by a very special human, and we are going to have an awesome chat about biohacking tips that she's implemented in her own life and with her clients and patients. Her name is Samantha Lander, and I am super excited to have you here today, Samantha. Do you go by Sam or you go by Samantha?
You'll start calling me Sam if you know me. Okay. So you can call me Samantha, but I think everybody always just kind of goes to Sam.
Awesome. Well, what's up, Sam? How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So I really wanted to talk to you after I met you through the Biohacking Babes, because a few months ago, I was teething for the first time in my life since being a baby. At 43 years old, I had this random wisdom tooth come into my mouth. And I had all of the symptoms of teething as an adult. I was like foaming at the mouth. I was itchy. I was in pain. I had all the sinus pressure. It sucked. And so I ended up going to the dentist. And the dentist is like, oh, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. And I heard about biological dentistry through the Biohacking Babes, because their dad, who's an amazing biological dentist, was talking to me, and I was like, all right, well, do I need to drive my butt down to Maryland and have this man work on me and do all of this stuff to my mouth? Is it worth it? I ended up finding someone in Long Island, which is a lot closer to my home, but I've been going back and forth on like, do I do this? Do I not do this? And then I came across you. I think we met either at one of the conferences that we went to, like one of the biohacking conferences. And I saw your whole story, and then I was just like became obsessed with you. So I wanted to have you on this show, because not only are you a single mom like I am, and, you know, I recently engaged, so I have a...
There's hope.
There's hope for all of us. I fought the good fight as a single mom with three girls for many, many years. And changed careers and went through my own health journey and stuff. And so I resonated so much with your story, but I wanted to introduce you on this podcast, not only for what you've been through recently with biological dentistry and like all the hell that you've gone through. And if anybody wants to look her up on CFit Living, is it?
Yeah, it's S-E-E, not C, but yeah, S-E-E and Fit Living. Yeah.
I mean, I was like horrified by this picture. Why don't you take a couple minutes to introduce us to you, because you have a pretty badass story of how you've gotten to where you are today to optimizing your health.
Oh, I don't even know where to begin, because I feel like there's so many chapters and they're all been pretty intense, but that's usually how we get into what we're doing. And I don't even, sometimes we're like, so you're like a biohacker. And I'm like, no, I think it's like survival. It just became survival for a lot of my moments in my health journey. So, you know, I was a chronically sick kid, tons of stomach problems, allergies, exhausted, like all the things, and just a lot of Western medicine and a lot of band-aiding for a large majority of my life. I just remember always being like super bloated, constipated, and like so, so tired, always really, really tired. Like when I would work at a daycare, I'd want to like nap with the kids because I like could not keep my eyes open. And I always craved like just carbs. Like I always just wanted like sugar and like carbohydrates. And I did struggle like with my weight, that like I worked out all the time. I ate clean and like nothing ever worked. But really in 2008, I had just gotten out of prison. And so I had So
why were you in prison?
Rewind. I'm so sorry. There's a lot of chapters. I mean, I'm an addict. When I moved out to LA after college, I started selling drugs and a lot of drugs. So I destroyed my body, but I actually felt better. I think part of my using sometimes when I think about it is it was an escape from like how bad I always felt. And my drug of choice was meth. And so for me, it was like it leveled me out because I had ADHD really bad, but I never wanted to take any medication. Like I never touched a pharmaceutical. And
isn't that interesting? You wouldn't touch a pharmaceutical, but you would touch meth. Right, right. Yeah. It's amazing how our brain keeps us safe, right?
Yeah, it's an addict, man.
Yeah.
But I had energy and like, I mean, it was everything I could have wished for. You know what I mean? I just felt like normal, honestly. It was just self-medicating for ADHD. But I mean, I just got into all the drugs. So I ended up like full SWAT raid and then ended up in prison. So.
Damn, girl. How long were you in prison?
I did LA County time and then I got out and I did federal time. I did 27 months in federal prison.
Damn.
So, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's a long time. And what were you doing in prison? Like you must have been.
I was just talking to someone about it. Like I never felt so free in my life that I did when I was in prison because I was free from all the drugs and that lifestyle. Like I was so happy to be sober. You could have literally put me anywhere. But I mean, I worked landscape and I learned how to drive every kind of piece of machinery and got licensed to do it all. And I loved it. I would just go drive like fields and like mow fields all day and tractors and stuff. I love
it. And you're probably exercising and.
Yes. So that's when I became the super cardio junkie. Right. So when I went to rehab, I was always like an athlete, like a division one rower, like hardcore into sports. My main one was rowing. And I just never thought I was going to be able to exercise again. When I went to rehab, we went to the gym and I got on elliptical and I thought I was going to like die. And I didn't. And I was like, oh my God, I can totally do this. And so that just became, I definitely transferred over my like addiction to like excessive cardio. But in prison, that's all I did. Like, I had nothing else to do. Like, I didn't know about lifting weights. So in 2008, I got out. In prison, I had cystic acne. I've never had it in my entire life. I really struggled with a lot of constipation in prison. I was put on tetracycline when I was there for the acne. And so, yeah. And I was on a ton of antibiotics as a kid, like tons of sinus infections, deviated septum. That all kind of ties in with, I think, my mouth journey, like the mouth breathing and all of that. I got out and I decided to become a personal trainer. And so I was at that point, I started lifting weights and just doing excessive amounts of cardio to try to reach my health goals, right? In Shape magazine, you read like calories in, calories out, like count calories and work out more, right? That's the recipe. That was not the recipe, as we know. It does not work. I ended up putting on weight, just kept putting on weight, but it was water weight. I was super, super puffy. I had chronic diarrhea. The acne had cleared up. I had chronic fatigue. I remember I stopped sweating. I was doing a lot of hot yoga on top of it. Like, I mean, I was working out like I was some sort of Olympic athlete, like it's just not it, but I couldn't figure it out. Like here I am, this personal trainer doing what I was told and like I'm getting worse, you know? And so that's when I ran my first food sensitivity test. I was at HLC1 for a check, but I did his HLC1 course. And that's when I learned about the food sensitivity testing. So I worked with one of those practitioners who taught the course, did the food test, and that just opened it up. Like right there, I was like, okay, this is it. And I learned all about the functional lab testing. At that point, it was a saliva test for cortisol. I got on my protocol. I got on hormones, started working on my adrenals, you know.
You were doing this all yourself, like self-guided, or you were working with a doctor?
No, I worked with a lot of practitioners. So I think, who was the first? One was just kind of like a guy who was a Czech practitioner who could run the labs. And he kind of just did like my first food test. And then I worked with Dan Kalish. I was hiring like the best of the best. But I'd be better and then not better and then better and then not better. And a big part of it was I was not doing GI panels. In my opinion, I wasn't doing GI panels properly. So none of them ever really did like biofilm work on me. None of them had me stop probiotics before a GI panel. And I was doing like 1 or 2 days of stool testing. I was better, but I wasn't. I still had like chronic diarrhea. And I did a stool test. So I got BioHealth lab, like I did 2 of them and I put a ton of days in, all of them. Right. And they actually ended up doing, they were doing a 4-day stool test at the end. And I ended up having parasites in the other days, which all my other tests were coming up totally clean. Well, that was like where I got it. And so I got sick of paying for all the labs out of pocket. And I saw that there was a need for, you know, this with my personal training clients. There were some of the women that were just like not getting results. And so I just kind of did it on the side. I got certified as an FDN practitioner. And oh my gosh, I was one of the first.
Is there a functional dietitian?
Functional diagnostic nutrition.
Diagnostic nutrition. Because you have a lot of letters next to your name on your Instagram profile. So tell me what they all mean.
I'm a certified personal trainer. I am program design with CHECK, HLC with CHECK, and then corrective exercise. And then I am an FDN practitioner. So the functional diagnostic. And that's how I can like run all the labs and do all that. It's kind of like, I guess, the main ones for me.
You got addicted to drugs, and then you got addicted to exercise, and then you got addicted to optimizing your diet and your gut health.
I don't know that at that point I was pretty even keel. Like, I don't think I was addicted to it. I think I was sick. Like, I would just pray for a good day. Like, I just wanted a good day where, like, I didn't feel like I got to the point where, like, I wouldn't put socks on because, like, the swelling was so bad. It would give me anxiety. I have horrible edema. I was super estrogen dominant. That's, like, my happy place.
And you were also walking around with, like, chronic diarrhea, which gives you anxiety because you're like, I can't even leave the house. I can't even.
Well, I don't know that I got that bad. Yeah. Or I was always by a bathroom. I have some of my clients that are that bad, but I don't know, but I was always by a bathroom. I don't know.
So you go through this journey, and it sounds like you're starting to focus on something other than yourself when you start to heal, right? Like, you're getting to the chapter where you're starting to feel better, and then you're starting to help other people. So a big chapter in your life over the course of the last, you know, decade or so has been helping other people kind of navigate the same shit that you've been going through, right? Yeah. So what do you focus on mostly in your practice?
For me, you know, I listen to the story. I think that's the most important thing, is to like listen to the person's story first, which I love, because everybody's got a story. And that, I think that is the most important thing, because that will put the puzzle pieces together when you start to run the labs. Because you could run the labs and they could look perfect, but if the person's super symptomatic, you know that you're going to have to take it, like the way that you look at the labs is going to be a lot different than someone with symptoms or without. So I think I listened to the story, and then, you know, I pretty much always run like a Dutch, a hormone adrenal panel, food sensitivity test, and a GI panel on everybody that I work with. And then from there, we kind of start navigating if we have to do a heavy metal, SIBO, mold, just depends. Unless the story that they tell me is, you know, they grew up in a house that had mold, or they know, you know.
Right. Now, their story doesn't just relate to their physical health, but it also relates to, I feel like a lot of times we tell ourselves the same story and we keep ourselves sick, which is, you know, a big part of my story. So I got hit by a car when I was pregnant with my third baby, and she got sick. I got sick. I got sick first. And then I went through all of this crazy stuff to get myself better. And then I went through 5 years of trying to get her better as well. And this is how I ended up in this crazy biohacking industry, is I found the Immortal Company, and I basically flew her down to Miami, threw her in this crazy looking like spaceship med bed thing. She came out at 8 years old. She came out 30 minutes later and basically looks at me and said, "Mommy, I realized I'm not supposed to be the sick kid anymore. I'm supposed to be the healer." And now at age 10, she's level 2 Reiki certified. She's teaching breath work, like, and she's not sick anymore. All of her muscles started functioning better. And one of the things she realized is, like, it served her. She literally said this in hypnotherapy, like, it serves me to be sick, because I'm getting attention from mom. I'm getting out of going to school. You know, I'm getting toys and ice cream and all this other crap that my sisters aren't getting. So when she came out of the Immortal Chamber and she had this kind of like transformational experience, she let go of that story. She let go of the story of it serves me to be sick, and instead took on a new story, which is, I'm going to use my pain for a purpose to help other people, at 8 years old. And it sounds very much like you're helping your clients do the same thing, where you're listening to their story. Because a lot of times, like, yes, our story will be indicative of the actual stuff that's happening. But if we keep replaying it in our head, then that story inevitably is going to become our future. And the only way to change the future is to change the story.
I remember like just the past couple months when it got really bad, the past 6 months was like, it was dark. And I remember thinking, is this defining me now? Because it's all I could talk about. It's all I could think about. And I was so sick. Like, it wasn't even pain. Like, now pain is nothing. It was like I had dementia almost. Like, I was, and I couldn't get out of bed, and I couldn't take care of my kid, and I literally couldn't process a thought. Like, I had more notes on clients than I could even tell you. And then I started thinking, like, should I even be working with people anymore? Like, it's like, is this even fair to them? Like, what am I going to do? And so, like, even November and December, I kind of was like, I'm taking this time. I'm not going to onboard people. I had a really, really, really good year, and this is what I have to do. And but then I was like, well, what if I don't get better? And then I'm like, is this defining? And then I was like, is this defining me? Is this like, am I using this to get attention? Is this become like, is this in my head? So then I started questioning, like, am I just losing my fucking mind? Like, I mean, everything. I was like, is this in my head? Like, I mean, every doctor, my bio, like, everybody was just sort of like, looked at me like I was nuts when I'd be like, no, this is going on. I'm telling you, like, I don't know. And then, like, I did a major sinus surgery. And like the next day we went and got this tooth pulled that my dentist, like, I don't know that you need to even pull it. I'm like, I'm telling you, you need to pull this tooth. And it literally just like came out of the socket, like a back molar, which doesn't happen. But then I was still sick. So it just like kept going. And I'm like, okay, now I have another tooth that's going to be gone.
I saw you on Instagram with a handful of teeth.
I have a bag of them on my bulletin board.
How many teeth did you have removed?
Girl, I don't even know. By November, I pretty much had only these front teeth. And then a few of these back here, these were missing. These are still missing here. This was my only side that I could eat on. So I couldn't touch this side, which already had two missing teeth, because I had a crown that broke off the second I got that one pulled, and then a crown broke off 4 days later. Mm. It just never stopped. This was the only side I could eat on. So we couldn't pull one more root canal tooth that I knew that I got a root canal on it to buy time. So like, we'll just root canal it and give myself a year and then we'll pull it. It never got better after the root canal. I had implants put in. Four implants put in.
That's amazing.
Literally, my knee pain went away. My brain fog went away. It was like night and day. But I've had like, I mean, this has been 2.5 years. 30 procedures.
30 procedures.
30 and procedures.
And you're also now back on medications, right? Because you're...
No. I've had well over 18 rounds of, as a functional practitioner, like... You know what I mean? That, like, I mean, I couldn't take care of my kid. I had to just tell myself, like, I know how to fix it. But when you start to become resistant to everything and nothing's working, I was like, fuck it, I'm done. I'm not taking anything else. And that's when I was like, do the sinus surgery, pull the teeth. Like, I was like, I can't. Like, they weren't working. Like, they were double stacking antibiotics. Yeah. Like, doxycycline, clindamycin. It started with what I thought was a sinus infection.
And it was really just a tooth infection, you think?
Or? Yeah, it was an infected tooth. It was a cracked tooth. So it started with a cracked tooth. I did a round of antibiotics. I have like severe sinus problems. I've had them since I was little. And I go to like all the doctors, the ENTs, and they'd be like, you're fine. And so then I would just like kind of get better. And then the last one was like, I did the antibiotics and it wasn't better. And then I was doing IV drips. And then I went in the hyperbaric chamber. I went in the hyperbaric chamber and it was like my whole left jaw just blew up. And I was like, the tooth is cracked. And then nobody would pull it. And all I knew at that point about biological dentistry was mercury. Like that you go to them to get the mercury out of your teeth and the heavy metal. Like that's all I knew. I did not know about root canals, having infections at the bottom. I did not know about having the implant. Like I didn't know any of it. And so I was trying to get this one pulled. All I could do was get a root canal on it. I got a root canal. That bought me about 2 months. But after that, I don't even remember if it was before or after, I ended up getting an infection in a tooth up here. And I had to go to the emergency dental place. And this guy did like a botched job, like root canal, until I could get to it was a Sunday, just to like get me out of pain. The next day I went to my regular dentist and it was swelling. And I'm like, I think I should be on antibiotics. Like something's not right. And they're like, no, but we got to do a root canal. It was so infected that I had a root canal done with no numbing. They literally had to strap me down to the chair.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Like something out of like a Western movie.
I went home and I was on, I might have just been on like amoxicillin or something. And within a day or two, my face was like this big. And there was so much fluid, I thought I was going to die. And so I showed up at the office. I mean, I was like dry heating outside the office. I was so sick. And so we went in and they ended up draining it. I told them I wasn't going to leave. I was like, I'm not leaving till you get me out of like pain. Like, and so they ended up draining it. And it was like a small mason jar worth of like fluid and pus. And
oh my God.
And again, they couldn't numb me. So they strapped me down. I mean, it was like giving birth out of my mouth. And it just keeps going and going. And then
is it like that type of thing? Like the hip bone's connected to the elbow bone, like your sinuses were connected to the nerves in your teeth. And like,
so if you look up like the organ meridian chart,
yeah,
you can see like all your teeth are connected to like everything in your body. And it was almost spot on each time I pulled one out. I could tell, like I pulled, I think it was this one out. And I remember I felt like it was whichever's connected to the lung and it was on this side. And I remember I felt like my lung capacity like quadrupled and I could, like I took a breath and I was like, whoa, it was like my ribs. Like it was like all of a sudden, like all these adhesions that was like keeping me like from breathing just like opened up. And then I cried in the chair hysterically for an hour.
Wow.
And I was like, I don't know what's happening. At this point, I was with a biological dentist. So they were kind of like, all right, you know.
We see this all the time, probably.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think they see a lot. I would know. I think I'm that fun percent. But at that point, I did learn about biological dentistry. And then I had like every bio dentist on my Instagram live. Dr. Dom, Dr. Sieb. You know, I talked to Jean at all the conferences. Kelly Blagett. I remember I was so sick and I opened my Instagram. I prayed to God. And he's like, I just need a sign. Like, I don't know what, I don't know. Like, I think I'm going to die. And this was like a year and a half, 2 years ago. Like, this wasn't even close to like, and I opened my Instagram and there was a picture of Kelly Blagett, a big bio dentist, and there was an arch behind him. And I'm like, he's in St. Louis? And so I DM'd him and I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I had an Instagram live booked with him in a couple months. And I was like, can you meet with me? And he's like, of course I can. So I met him at his hotel right before he caught his flight. And I sat with him and like we went like through a lot of it. He was sort of like an architect. He said, let me be your architect for a while. And so he kind of gave me
a quarterback,
sent him all my stuff. And he's like, here's what you need to get done. And it was just, I mean, it was so much, and getting ceramic implants and getting this pole and getting that. And I was working between him and the dental school. They could do enough stuff that was affordable for me. And then I would go to him and do like ozone and PRP and like laser, whatever I had to do. I mean, I was going to go fly out to Germany and do it. But then it's like, what do you do if something goes wrong? You know, that's always my question. Like, I go to Germany, like, what happens if I'm not better? Like, you get all this stuff done, but like, what if I have, like, there's something called bone spicules. Almost every one of my teeth that has been pulled, there'll be bone that starts to push out that feels like baby teeth coming through almost.
Oh my God.
It's super painful. Like, I remember it was a holiday weekend and that started happening. And I had to literally take a knife into my mouth and like, I pulled chunks of like bone, like teeth out of my jaw. And I was like, oh, it felt so much better. The stuff I've done to myself is
I can't even imagine. Is this great?
Oh, I will freeze my gums and just take a knife to it if I have to.
Well, I mean, it sounds like it's not much different from what the early dentist did to you.
No. And
like strapping onto the bed and just pulling your teeth out while you're enduring a root canal with no drugs. I mean,
no.
Listen, I got hit by a car when I was pregnant. And so I know the pain of not being able to take drugs, and especially like the nerve pain. Nerve pain is the worst.
Like, it's like when I start to tell you, I'm like, oh my God, I like remember, you know, it's almost like I black it out. But now I'm at the point where like, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to eat, but let's just do it. And I just got the implant. So I like was still learning how to eat. And they pulled it and it was like growing sideways, like into my jaw. I mean, it took an hour and a half to try to get this bad boy out.
Thank God you just try to do it yourself.
No, I wouldn't.
So let's rewind a bit, because a lot of people listening are not familiar with the word biohacking or what even biological dentistry is. And honestly, I wasn't even familiar with it until about a year ago. You are now very intimately familiar with all things biological dentistry.
Obsessed. Yeah, right. I went and got a tattoo midway through, I think, this journey. I went and got a tattoo of a tooth with a big bow on it. I'm like, I just need like a happy tooth on my body, you know?
It's amazing. It's also what you first said, right? Like it's not about necessarily, oh, I'm like going to intentionally optimize or I'm intentionally pivoting, you know, my health or like making these changes that are going to help me like live better longer. You're in fight or flight. You're in survival mode. And so you've been in the survival mode for several years now, and you're just at kind of the end of this chapter. And I truly do believe that you're at the end. You know, and talking to you now, like I can feel your energy. I know that you're like super self-aware and, you know, maybe thinking like it might happen again, but don't let the fear overcome.
I don't have that many teeth left, so hopefully it won't happen again. But I mean, I do have to get some implants. I'm actually debating if I even get two. I might just get one. When I had this one pulled, you know, 3 months later, and I went in, I can't do it anymore. Like my body physically can't handle it. And I was like, I can't, like I start shaking. I was like, I can't, I like, you can't do it. And I was just like, get me numb and just like drill the bone down. Like that's all I can do today. And they went in there and I'm like, hopefully it's okay. And they, I mean, it's still coming through, but like that pain is nothing to me. And I can't do another surgery. Like I have to save it to get an implant. And my PCOS and my hormones are so messed up. I'm so aware of that fight or flight at a level that I've never in my life felt. I mean, I was in prison. I had scary things happen. Like this is kind of like my do or die moment. Like I, you know, and it's hard, like single mom. Like, and here's the thing is like, I didn't realize how much it was like impacting my relationship with my kid. Like I won't let him near my face. Like I wouldn't kiss him. I wouldn't snuggle with him. I wouldn't, like, everything was, like, stay, like, in this bubble. Like, he jumped in my bed a couple weeks ago, and, like, he just jumped right by my face, and I was like, oh, my God, like, I haven't even allowed that in my life because I was so scared. It might, like, my teeth might, like, fall out. Like, it was to that point, like, I don't know what's going to happen to my face if he hits it. You know, like, everything was, like, just this, like, little bubble, you know, and I would get teeth pulled and then pick them up from school. Like major surgeries. Like I had my 3 implants in, and literally the next day I had to take care of my kid for an entire weekend. Like you're supposed to rest, you know? And it's like, I don't have a choice, which is probably why I didn't get better faster. But like, you're not present. You're like really agitated, and you're not a very good mom when you're sick. I'm gonna tell you that right now. It's really, really hard. And I have a kid, he has oppositional defiant disorder. And I don't know if you know about that, but
I do.
It's very hard. And so it's like, yeah. I mean, it's ruined. It's like the past 3 years of my life has been borderline, like I would say almost like ruined, like to a level I can't even say, but I, by the grace of God, I've had like these wonderful, like God moments that have like just kept me going. But by November this year, I called my mom and I was like, my spark is completely gone. Like, I don't know what to do anymore. Like, I can't do it anymore. If you get to know me, like I am a creative, like I'm very like extrovert. Like I didn't call anyone. I stayed at home and I just tried to get through every day and not be sick. And I literally was at the dentist every week. Like it was insane. And I just prayed. I have my sobriety. I would go sleep in this energy infusion room with these scalar panels, red light. I mean, you name it. I bought them all. I bought every device. I already have a lot. Ionic fast every single day. I was like, I don't know what else to do.
It's one thing to go through it. And it's one thing to, like, a lot of people can see your energy. You feel like you have lost your spark.
No, it's coming back.
Oh, this
last 2 was it.
But this whole experience that you've gone through, it's not a detriment to your relationship with your child. It's not a detriment to your relationship with anyone that you work with. It's only going to make you a better mom, and it's going to make your kid stronger and have a better perspective. I always had that guilt of like, I can't do anything for my kids. I can't get out of bed. I was hospitalized 3 times with crushing pain. And you know, on all of the medications, which were making me more crazy, right? Like they gave me
Yeah.
all steroids. And then I just started being like angry all the time. I was like this, I turned into like the green monster. And
Oh, I love steroids. When they finally, when I mean, I fired like 5 ENTs. I had so many CTs, and finally the last one's like, you have cysts in your sinuses and your deviated septum is back. So I had that surgery when I was younger, and I was like, okay. So I did that surgery and was not even better. But the steroids, that was like my saving grace. I never taken anything like that. And I was like, oh my God, I could like, it bought me a little more time, is what I thought.
It's all moving. It's like a moving target, right? Where we are today is very different from where you were 6 months ago. It's where you very different from where you're going to be 6 months from now. And so having that attunement, that ongoing faith, I mean, honestly, being brought down to your knees in your health makes you really start praying. And no matter who you're praying to or what you have faith in, even if it's just having faith in yourself or having faith in God or Jesus or, you know, universe or whatever it is, when you start to transfer that fear to faith and you make that pivot every single day, that's the only way that I've been able to survive. And it sounds like you've been able to survive. And
yeah.
Now you're on the trajectory for thriving because you're so rooted and grounded in your faith.
But at the end, I like couldn't even get to a phone meeting. I mean,
but it's
yeah,
okay.
You got to give it up.
You have that inside of you. You got to let go of the outcome and the fear of the future. My mom always said, "Don't borrow problems from tomorrow."
Yeah,
and it's so true. You know, if we keep worrying, if we keep ourselves in that story of pain and that story of fear, then guess what's going to happen tomorrow? You're going to feel pain, then you're going to feel more fear. But if you let it go, give it up to God, you know, then miracles can truly happen. And it sounds like you've learned a lot from this experience. And, you know, I've actually made a huge decision to go through with pretty expensive oral surgery because I had this wisdom tooth come in. I didn't realize that because I didn't get the other three wisdom teeth, it was always my joke. Like, I guess I'm not that wise because I don't have wisdom teeth, right? But I have to get this one removed. And then when they do a scan, they see that there's like these pockets where the wisdom teeth.
Cavitations. They're going to do cavitations on you. I did all the, I don't know. I mean, it did nothing for me. Did they say there was infection in there?
So they don't know, but because.
They should be able to see it on a cone beam a little bit.
Yeah.
It
was dark. It was totally dark.
So biodentists love to do the cavitation surgery. I don't know if I did it. On all mine, we did the lab. I had every infection of every sort of Lyme and you name it when it came back. I don't even know what that means at that point because we were just like trying to like get me better. But so what it is, let me explain, is the bone in your jaw. So that bone back here with like no tooth, it's like a piece of wood. And what happens when a piece of wood starts to rot, it gets like mushy, right? And it gets like, you know, there'll be like good, healthy, hard parts, but then part of it will have like the mushy, not so great wood, like you wouldn't burn a fire with it. So they go in and they scrape and they pull all that out, and then they're going to run it to a lab and they'll test it. So what they should see is on a cone beam, they'll see like these darker areas that'll be like, okay, probably is infection in there. I know that's biodentists, like it's their go-to a lot of times, but I mean, it can't hurt.
Yeah.
I don't know why I did it, but I was doing everything. It's expensive.
It's expensive, but you know, what's the cost of maybe not doing it and ending up in the same position as you a couple of years from now?
Like the way they close it up, it's not that bad. They might spin your platelets and put it in there too. And they do laser and have them put ozone in there and you'll heal. And it's in the back.
They do the IV vitamin C.
Yeah.
I'm doing it with Dr. Gandhi. Have you heard of him from, he's going to be on Biohack Yourself. Biological dentistry documentary.
I know. I DM them. I'm like, if you need a story, like,
I know. Seriously,
it's no. Like a lot of the guys know it, like Kelly, Dom, and all them. Like, you know, when you're sick and you're just like, I don't know what to do. Like Kelly's gotten a lot of it, and then my poor bio dentist. Like, and that's part of it is like you start to feel bad because you feel like you're annoying your dentist because you're like, they think you're crazy. Everyone thinks you're crazy.
I don't think they've thought you're crazy. You're kind of just an extreme case that they've never seen before. And unfortunately, you're now like you're like patient zero.
I know. Well, I'm always like, you're going to learn a lot. And I try to have a positive attitude. And then now they feel bad, I think, because he's like, I'm so sorry that took like 2 hours. He's like, we need to just always block like an extra half an hour for you. You know.
But it sounds like you're rounding the corner. They've been able to learn a lot from you. You've learned a lot too. So going back to like the emotional trauma that happens with being chronically ill and in chronic pain, you know, what are your next steps? You said you bought all this biohacking equipment. Like, what are you doing to optimize your mental health now?
Oh my God, girl. I don't even know. I do it all. Like I red light my mouth. Like if I wake up at night, I will like just like put a red light inside my mouth to try to work on that. I do the ionic foot baths. I will go spend a couple hours and sleep in it's called the energy infusion room. I found it. It's like 20 minutes from my house. It's one of the biggest rooms that has these scalar panels all around it. I'm like Tony Robbins, I guess, has one, but it basically, there's a lot of people with cancer that go in and they spend like overnights and days in there, and then their screens are coming back totally clean. Yeah. But I go in and like, especially in the beginning, it was like real, it was like frequencies would rattle. It would be work. And she's like, you're sick, Sam. And like, I would just like, it would be so intense. But I do that.
We have one up here. And every time I go in there, it's a friend of mine, Michelle, runs the Quantum Energy Healing Center in Bedford, New York. And we had like a networking event in the room.
I'm doing a retreat in April. Yeah.
I left the room and I was like,
everybody's different, probably because we've been through it. But it was like, I was like, it's always so much work in there. But I mean, I do the PEMF mat. I do the PTSD helmet. I do, you know, all my supplements. I'm about to do cycle mapping because I can't get a handle on my hormones. So I called my practitioner and I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I have him and my OB kind of like, we got the Western medicine guy working with the other guy to try to figure out, like we're actually thinking about, you know, potentially taking my uterus out, because it's just been my hormonal journey has been just so hard to get a grasp on with like PCOS and so many things. They're like, you know what, you might feel great just taking your uterus out. And they're both on board with that. But we're going to do some cycle mapping. I don't know. It's like my teeth. I don't know how my hormones didn't get horrible during my teeth stuff. But like I was, and I said that, and then all of a sudden it was like, okay.
And you spoke that shit into existence, dude.
I mean, I'm like, I'm 44 and like, it's like, I got my period for the first time, like bleeding everywhere. I'm like, oh my God.
I know. It's crazy. I'm going through the same thing now and like trying to match up the Eastern Western. And eventually I'm going to have Dr. Kellyanne on this podcast, and she just launched a new perimenopause product with Drew Barrymore. And I'm like, girl, does it actually work? And she's like, yeah, it does. I'll send you some. And I'm like,
she probably has like Vitex in it.
Yeah. I'm like, I got to look into it. But because, you know, this is all about no BS, right? We don't want to share anything that's not going to be helpful to people on this, on Optimize We.
I'm going to tell you, like, I don't know that anybody ever has the answers. Like, I think people do preach like, this is it. This is how you do it. But everybody is so different. Like, it's the bottom line. Like, I literally do this stuff for a living on a day-to-day basis, and I can't always figure my shit out, you know? And there are clients who are hard that we have to, like, start really, really digging. Like, I am willing to admit that. I just think that there is not, like, a magic pill for anyone. And that's why I just kind of do it all. Like, I eat clean. You got to start with the basics, you know?
Yeah, fuel equals energy.
It's work life stress is my biggest one that I can't walk away with. So like I basically took 2 months off. And what I realized there, you know, I don't get paid if I don't work, right? And being a mom of a kid that's challenging and needs therapy and like all, you know, all the things. Like January was a slow month for me. Like it's just snowing here a lot and I'm worldwide, but it didn't matter. It was like everybody in life paused. It's like maybe the election. But those thoughts that start to happen when my work isn't thriving will kill me, you know? And that's where I was like, okay, like, let's get this. It's like, this is way worse than I realized, you know? Cause that's what keeps me, it's what kept me alive all year. you know, just having like my work was killing it.
That's amazing. And sometimes you can pull from a different place with work. And especially like this is kind of fueling you. Your own illness is fueling you to figure out stuff that you didn't have to figure out before. And now you're even in a better position than you were before to work with your clients and work with your patients and help them thrive and optimize. And I know we'll get back to it. It's just a, you know, a matter.
It was fun for a minute. It pushed me for a minute. I was like, this is the silver lining. It's going to be great. And then I was like, okay, this is enough. I don't want to do this anymore.
Well, it sounds like you really have needed those breaks, you know, to have you say that it was a nice break to be in prison is something I've never heard from anyone before ever.
And now it's like my surgery, the sinus surgery. I like sat on my couch for like 3 weeks. Like, granted, I was in a lot of pain and like bleeding all over, but I didn't really get on my phone. Like, I just sat there and my mom was like so nice. Like, my mom's real hard, like she's kind of like me. We had like our little fit, I think, because I was so constipated. I was just a bitch after the surgery. And then once we got through that, it was like I spent a week and it was like amazing with my mom. And I just watched movies with my parents. And like, that's something I don't remember like having that growing up, that kind of comfort. And then it was amazing. Like, I was like, oh, I just wish I was independently wealthy. I could do this every day. I'm like, just hang out when I want. But.
And that's such a gift, you know, so you get these little glimmers of gifts from God during these tumultuous journeys. And, you know, you got to experience something at 44 that you didn't get to experience as a kid. And I'm sure that healed all sorts of stuff, too. And you're just going to continue to do the things that you need to do for your own life and for your kid and for your clients. And I wish I was in St. Louis right now to jump. I want to jump through the computer and give a big hug because I'm just so grateful for you sharing your journey. And I know that it's not done yet, but.
No, but it always gets better. I'm a firm believer. It always gets better. It doesn't matter. It may get a little worse, but it will get better. But you can't predict when it gets better. You can't control people, places, and things.
That's so true. The only thing you can control is how you react to things.
Nope.
Really, truly. And how you pivot from having fear to having faith. And I'm really impressed and I'm in awe and inspired by you to optimize my own health and my mouth after all of this.
Just I was like, maybe I need to become like a mouth counselor.
I think you could.
I mean, I'm serious. Like I need therapy for like, there's got to be therapists that specialize in like medical trauma. And I'm like, if I need a therapist, it's going to be that. And then I was like, and maybe I could just like help people, like be of service to people who have to go through like these traumatic, like mouth journeys. Like I can just call me. I will talk. I'll tell you, like, it'll be okay.
Be careful what you wish for. That's going to be.
I know, right. Yes. I don't know. I always was drawn. Like everyone used to be like, you need to be a therapist. You should be a counselor. So maybe it will happen. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean. Listen, you're speaking a lot of stuff into existence. That's a nice positive thing to speak into existence. So for everybody listening, thank you so much, Sam, for joining the Optimize We podcast, where we're sharing all sorts of biohacking truths without the BS. This has been a really refreshing episode because you have just shared your heart and shared your journey, shared your pain. And I have so much love for you and so much respect for everything that you're doing, especially as a single mama. It is not easy. It is not easy at all. You will get lots of prayers and love and positive energy sent your way once this airs. So I'm really grateful for you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Maybe we'll talk again soon. We can have some of your biological dentists on the show. They can share more details about, you know, how this is just transforming oral health in general.
Yeah, let me know who you want. I know a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm like a stalker.
All right, Sam. Well, thank you so much.